Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode number 48 of the Forever Strength Podcast. I'm Andrew Coates. I've got Bailey Lau here with me, my co-host. And we have a cool guest that I've been following for a while, Lauren Rawls, who does a lot of strength training and has a lot of really good messaging around that combination of strength training, body image, especially, which I find is a really challenging thing that our industry traditionally doesn't always do a great job with, especially for women. So and your strength coach based out of San Diego. Lauren, it's great to have you on. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm so excited.
Good. Bailey will kick it off as always. She always prepares a bunch of great questions and I'll sneak in where I can.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, we always start with the same. How did you get into fitness?
How did I get into fitness? I grew up doing gymnastics off and on, just like recreationally. Both of my parents were huge runners. My mom went on to do triathlons and marathons and stuff like that. And when she started training for those triathlons, she got us a membership at the Y. And when she was swimming and running, I would just go into the weight section, the machine section, and just do like every single machine possible. And then do cardio and do abs. Cause I was like, I want to be, my dream was to look like a Victoria's Secret model. And I didn't realize that like there were different types of bodies. And I was like, no, like if I don't eat that much and if I do cardio and abs for the rest of my life, like I'm going to look like a Victoria's Secret model. I'm 5'2" and like, that's just not my body shape. So coming to that realization was hard. Like no matter how much I do their like Victoria's Secret angel Pinterest workouts or whatever, I'm never going to like have that body style, nor is it healthy now that I realize that. So that's what got me into fitness. It got more healthy, I would say 2019 or like 2018, 2019, when I kind of found strength training and started to realize that there's so much more to lifting and being in the gym than how it makes you look.
Yeah. And so was that your biggest takeaway from your own journey was it's not about how you look, it's about how you feel?
It definitely started out as a way to like morph my body into something that I saw on social media and I saw in advertisements for sure. And then it started to get, like I said, I used to have an unhealthy relationship and then it shifted to a healthy relationship once I started realizing that there's more than just how it makes you look. So strength training definitely, it was kind of like an aha moment of like, oh my gosh, I don't, like I can eat more and I can lift more. And then I feel good when I like lift more and it's just like a continuous cycle. And then you stop caring about the number on the scale as much and the side effects, or like looking good is a side effect of strength training. So you kind of realize that, or I realized that the more I got into it.
Yeah. And a lot of times clients come in and that's their main goal is to change how their body looks. And then once they realize how fun strength training is, then they kind of, it's not that it's not important anymore, but it sort of is moved to a back burner where they're more focused on, oh, this makes me feel good. This makes life easier. Do you find that that's the case with the clients you work with?
100%. I can't tell you, I have a lot of younger clients. I myself, I'm 25. So I have a lot of younger clients that are in their like late teens, early 20s, and they'll come to me saying that they want to look like so-and-so, or they'll have like screenshots of bodies that they want to look like. And that's the first thing that I kind of tell them is like, I love that you have physique goals, but I would really be proud of myself as a coach if I could help you steer away from wanting to look like someone that you saw on Instagram and more so wanting to look like the better version of you, whatever that looks like, just a better version of you.
Can you dive just a little bit more into navigating, taking something that someone comes in that you know they're excited about or it's their idea, and ultimately, in a way, you kind of have to tell them that, wait a minute, this is a bad idea, this is wrong, but we're just at the very cusp of earning their trust, they're stepping in this environment. That's probably a big leap for them just to even get in the gym. I definitely talk about this a lot with like when someone comes and says, I want to get toned. I don't want to get too bulky. And the coaches turn around and go immediately, well, toned isn't a thing, and starts a lecture. And it's like, you dumb motherfuckers, you damn well know what these people are saying. That's the language they use. Knock that crap off. So how do you navigate that and yet make them feel comfortable?
It's a lot easier for me to navigate it because I used to be them. Like, I used to be in those shoes. So I'd just start off by saying, like, hey, I get it. Like, I literally used to want to look like Adriana Lima. She was like a Victoria's Secret angel. I was like, I wanted to look like Adriana Lima. And I'm like, I used to have screenshots of bodies I saw on Pinterest. Like, I get it. But I also want you to know that, like, there is so much more to life and lifting than just how you look. I love that quote of, like, the least interesting thing about you is how you look, or like what your body looks like. Like, your look should be the least interesting thing about you. And like the person you are should be like the biggest, the best thing about you. So I'll kind of dive into that. And then when I was in person training, I feel like I don't look like I weigh what I do. So when I was in person, I'd always stand up and tell the client or potential client, like, how much do you think I weigh? Like, because they'll, a lot of times they'll be like, you have a great body. Like, I want to get like you, or I want to have like legs or glutes like you. And I'm like, please just guess how much you think I weigh. And they're just like, I don't know, 120, 100, like 125. And like, I've always floated around since I've started strength training anywhere from 145 to 160. And like, I'll literally walk them over to the scale and step on the scale with them there, and whatever the number reads, like right now I'm floating between 150, 155. And they're just like, what? Like, I didn't think that like you would ever weigh that much. Like, that's so much weight. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but that's muscle. Like, that's the difference between having a lot of muscle on you and having fat on you. It's going to look different. So just having that visual for them was really helpful. And I try and do that with my online clients as well, because a lot of them follow me on Instagram. And I'm very open with how much I weigh or like what I'm doing on Instagram as well. So I think having that kind of like visual for them is really helpful.
I noticed too that you're also good about, I apologize, Bailey. Poor Bailey has all these questions.
Oh, good.
I've been following your media for a while. You're honest about the reality of everyday life, which includes the cycles, weight cycles through, you know, your monthly cycle, that sort of stuff. So any additional thoughts on just how important it is? Because to me, you're not creating an unrealistic ideal. You're creating an honest experience.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really love when clients come to me, or potential clients, or people on Instagram DM me and just say like, whoa, that was really real. Or like, that's exactly how I was feeling today. And I think that is so sad that there's a lot of people on Instagram that try and create this like persona that they maybe want to be, or that they are on some days, but like the realistic thing is that we just aren't that way on a day-to-day basis. So I would so much rather be a realistic person for someone to follow, so that they don't feel like they have to compare themselves to me, because that's, comparison is the name of the game on Instagram. You're always like, they have the better this, the better that, the newer whatever, the cool Stanley Cup or whatever, like the trendy thing is now. Like, there's just so much of that. And I wanted to be more of a safe space for especially younger women to come to and be like, oh, like, it's, if I'm sitting, it's fine if I have a lower pooch. Like, that's just normal. Like, you don't have to suck in, or you don't have to like try and squeeze into a size 0 or 2, like if your body is not that, if you're size 4, 6, 10, whatever. So I just have really made a conscious effort that to realize that if I'm feeling something, or if I'm thinking negatively about my body, there's so many other women out there that are going through the same thing. So if I'm strong enough and vulnerable enough to share that with my followers, someone is going to gain something from that conversation. Even if it makes me uncomfortable putting that out there to so many people, it's going to make someone else feel more comfortable in their skin, and that's worth it to me.
Yeah. Social media, a lot of the times, it does feel scary to put those kinds of things out there, because, you know, of course, a lot of people always go to the, oh, well, someone's going to say something negative, mm-hmm. and it's going to make me feel a certain way. But I find a lot of the time when you put stuff like that, especially if that's the demographic that follows you, they're more supportive than anything.
Yeah, 100%. I put up a reel maybe 2 weeks ago, with an audio clip of like, there's an 8-year-old who doesn't like her thighs or something like that. And it was a video of me after leg press, and I was bending down and drinking water, and I was wearing shorts, which is another thing that like used to terrify me to no end, like wearing shorts in public and having people see cellulite on me. And that reel, I was so nervous to post it, A, because I was like, I can't believe my body looks like that. That was the first initial reaction that I had to seeing that like recording of myself. But then I was like, that's exactly, that shame is what so many other women feel, and they don't even have the healthiest coping mechanisms that I do with it. Like, I'm able to see that and be like, that's normal, whatever. Like, you're having an off day, you wore shorts to the gym, the lighting is weird. Like, I'm able to like process it in a healthy way, whereas other women aren't able to do that. And maybe they would restrict for the rest of the day or try a weird fad diet or whatever cream that Instagram is selling that takes away cellulite or whatever. So being able to post that and show like, hey, my initial thought was like, I don't want to post this and I don't want anyone to see this, is the exact reason that I'm doing this, because it is normal and it is fine to have it and it is fine to feel a little uncomfortable with it. But as long as you know that it is something that's natural and doesn't take away your worth, is the biggest thing.
Yeah. So then how would you differentiate between posting something and it just being there and it's normal and not addressing it, and feeling the need to address it because you think that someone can sort of learn from that and know that they're not the only one struggling?
Can you rephrase the beginning of the question?
When you're posting something on Instagram that is like that, like while you're seeing cellulite, mm-hmm. when would you address it and when would you not address it because it is normal?
Oh, I understand. I feel like I have been open over the past like year or so about wearing shorts to the gym, to the point where my followers who have followed me for that long kind of understand that I'll go through ebbs and flows of wanting to wear them and wanting to not. Mm-hmm. So I usually do address it most of the time, just because it is a big step for me too. It's not like I just casually put on shorts to go to the gym some days. Like, it's a conscious effort of like, okay, we're going to do this, because I call it just like, what is it? The type of therapy where they just like throw you into something and they're just like, here, deal with it. Yeah.
Therapy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's what I do. Like, I know that I'm not exactly going to be the most confident version of myself when I wear shorts, but doing it over and over again, making it normal to me, is what's going to ideally help me not feel uncomfortable and help me feel like it is just a normal day and I'm wearing shorts to the gym. Mm-hmm. And I know that so many other people struggle with that. I had girls DM me after that saying like, I've bought so many pairs of dark sports shorts and like every drop I buy a new pair, but I just can never get myself to wear them. Like, thank you for posting this. I think I'm going to start trying this week or something. And like, that's just one girl that decided to message me. So if there's other girls that felt the same way because I posted that, that's all that really matters. I couldn't care less. I could care less if someone messaged me about something rude or DM, like commented something not nice on that post.
Yeah. Easy to just block them.
Yeah. It's always like a no picture, like user blah blah blah, and you go to their page and there's like no one there, so it's yeah. Like
you're obviously a troll. Yeah.
there's a cute little tactic that I can use, and I think for any of our listeners, if someone, God forbid, they somehow are an asshole, just block them immediately. But oftentimes I'll get someone who says something stupid on some post. I've got a very popular one right now, so it gets seen by more non-followers, so they're more likely to trickle in. And I'll see if they've said something really heinous, I'll usually just delete it straight up. Gone, block them, get rid of them, or restrict them. But if they say something and I can actually create a very good, thoughtful response, I'll give a measured response. And then if I know they're going to be an asshole, I'll restrict them. And then that way, I don't have to worry about them responding or this continuous battle. I had one recently, some insecure guy chirping about something or other. It was a stupid comment. So I don't do this, but I made fun of him because in his profile, he posts a lot of cars. And I'm like, I don't think you own the cars in your profile. This guy was in my DMs. Oh my God. Like, the fact that a stranger on the internet didn't believe he owned these cars. It got to a point where he actually, and I'm laughing at him, I'm thinking bad, like, you're so insecure, try to prove this to a stranger on the internet. He sent me a picture of money like the money apparently has like cash on like, I guess, I don't know, a table or something. And I'm laughing and then I blocked him. I said, all right, enough of this crap. And these people, if we let them get inside our heads that stop us from posting and sharing stuff, like you keep saying about all these young women who are going to receive these messages positively. If someone's afraid to share something, well, it's creating a lot of space for the bad faith actors and the people who share the bad information, misinformation, and the traditional imagery that is like Photoshop stuff, right? Like we know that stuff exists, even though you guys follow Goob, who like battles that stuff.
Yeah.
Goob is onto the child predator shit now. Like he's basically like taking down child predator rings. So he's got a greater purpose. But the point being is don't be afraid to post this stuff because you're taking up space from other stuff that I don't think is necessarily as good.
Completely agree. Yeah, I had to get over like my own insecurity of people seeing my other insecurities. And that's a whole other thing. Like just knowing that once you hit publish or once you hit like post, like no matter what you want to do, like people are going to see it no matter what. And that is a huge vulnerability, especially if it's something that you're not 100% confident in.
If there's an important thing here. If you showcase the things that you feel most insecure about, then no one can use them to shame you or hold power over you. It is not the same thing as negative self-talk. I think a lot of people do this where they engage in negative self-talk because they think, well, this builds armor. If I say it to myself, it protects me from other people saying it. No, no, no. Your system, your brain, your psyche does not differentiate. And that is literally how people tear themselves down. Not the same thing at all. But if you could post and at least be open about something that you feel vulnerable about, it strips anybody else's ability to use it against you away.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. It takes away their power. And it also gives you more power because you're in control of the narrative. Like you are the one who is vulnerable enough to post your insecurities online. Therefore, no one can use that against you because you are already speaking about that. Completely agree.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier the comparison game. When a female comes into the gym to start off with, I think that's their first thing is to try to compare themselves. And sometimes it turns into, oh, you know, this person has this problem to make themselves feel better. Do you find that that's the case with lots of the young females that you work with?
Are you asking like they'll find a flaw in another woman just so that they feel better about themselves?
Yeah, like the whole comparison game, just in general.
Yes, I feel like, I mean, I feel like we all get caught up into that sometimes, but definitely the younger girls. I feel like this generation has been a lot better about being accepting. It's a double-edged sword, yes and no. with my clients specifically, they're a lot better at having realistic expectations. And whether that's from social media or from other influencers that they follow, I'm really glad that they do have more realistic expectations of what they're going to get out of the first couple months of coaching. Because like some people have just absolutely ridiculous expectations of what they're going to look like after their first deficit phase or after whatever, like 6 months of coaching. Comparison wise, I feel like it is common, especially like in the gym, I can notice more so people being like, oh, well, she has a really strong lower body, but her upper body isn't anything. So like using that as like a way to almost like disqualify her. And like, it's weird, because you can't really control that. And it's also like you're trying to make yourself feel better by disqualifying her strength in some way. And it's not helping either of you. And she doesn't even know that you're talking about her. So then it's just like creates this weird atmosphere in the gym. My gym is mostly content creators and they're all under the age of like 30. So it's very clicky.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So then would you say that sometimes strength training helps with the comparison game? Or does that come down to their mindset in general?
I think it comes down to your mindset. You can do anything in the world, but if you have a shitty mindset, you're going to have a shitty mindset. Like if you're always going to look at someone and compare yourself and try and make yourself feel better by pointing out something that they're not good at or that you're better at them at, it's always going to mess with you mentally. Like, I always just, I'm not a, the good thing about me is I'm not a competitive person, so I don't really try and compare myself or compare my numbers to other people. I really just want to go in there and get better than I was before, which is why PRs are a big thing for me and my clients. Just because you're technically competing against yourself. Like, you are always striving to get better than you were before. It doesn't matter if 225 is light for you or if 225 is the goal weight that you want to get to for squats or whatever. So I think it makes it more relative, which is easier to like progress with.
Yeah. So then with strength training specifically, and then getting away from the comparison game, but women's confidence, why do you think that from start to sort of maybe a year into their relationship with lifting heavy things, why do you think that their confidence improves?
I think a lot of it is, are you talking in general or with me and my clients?
Both.
With me and my clients, I think it's a big portion of it is that I really try to be like their biggest hype woman. And I always tell them, I want you to be so proud of yourself because you did this, instead of saying, I'm so proud of you. Like, yes, I do tell them I'm proud of them, but I would rather them feel a sense of pride in themselves for doing something than just look to me for validation or for that source of pride. That's been the biggest thing for me personally, is just having pride in myself and knowing that I made myself proud rather than making other people proud, or have them being impressed with me or my numbers. So gaining confidence is a huge part within that first year, because you're proving to yourself that you can do hard things. Like, weight strength training is never quote unquote easy, because you're always going up in weight and you're always trying to progress. So there's never like an easy way to do it. Like, your squats can always be hard because you can always add tempo or add weight or add something. So knowing that you can prove to yourself day in and day out that you can do hard things in the gym also proves that you can do hard things, whether it's mentally or emotionally or outside of the gym.
Yeah. And a lot of the times that transfers to just daily life. Would you agree?
100%. Yeah. I myself can say that I'm a more confident person in other decisions outside of the gym, because I have more confidence with myself from the gym, from being inside the gym.
Yeah, for sure. So you also work with macros. Clients? Is that something you do with all your clients?
It's not mandatory. I do have some clients that have had history of like disordered eating patterns or actual eating disorders. And that's where it gets tricky, especially when they're younger, because you obviously don't want to feed that negative mindset or feed that disordered eating pattern. But it's also tracking macros can also be a tool to help them realize that you can indulge in things that you like while staying on track, and that you don't always have to feel guilty about having a donut at work or a slice of cake at dinner. Because a lot of the times it's, again, that negative self-talk of like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I need to do extra cardio, or I need to go do whatever, whatever, to like work off that brownie or cookie or whatever that you ate. But once you start tracking macros, you can realize that like, oh, I can fit in that, and I didn't go over, I didn't go under, or that doesn't mean that I did badly today. So I don't make it mandatory, but I do try and teach them, whether they track macros or not, I try and teach them about it, just so that they know that there's never a time that you actually fucked up. Like, sure, maybe you went over macros, but that just means that tomorrow you hit your macros like normal. Doesn't mean that you have to restrict, doesn't mean that you have to change anything from day to day. It just means that you went over that day, and you don't really have to attach a feeling or an emotion to that.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you started eating to fuel your body. And how does that relate to strength training, tracking macros?
Seeing food as fuel really changed the game for me. Like, I used to just see it as, I eat foods that I enjoy, or I don't eat because I want to be skinny. Or I eat more and then I feel guilty about it. And taking away the emotion out of it for me really helped. I'm definitely an emotional eater. Like, if I have a hard day, or if I go through a breakup, or if something like made me upset, I want like all of the sweets in the world. And then when I started tracking macros, it kind of helps you understand that, like, okay, your body needs actual specific nutrients and like micronutrients and macronutrients. So it kind of just put it in perspective for me of like, your body needs this. And if you want to get stronger, you're going to have to fuel your body for that. And that's what I also teach my clients as well, is like, yes, you can totally have those days where you just eat what you like because you enjoy it, but your body needs fuel. And if you want to get to these goals that you have in mind, you're going to have to fuel it so that it can work for you instead of against you.
Yeah. And so then, would you speak a little bit on protein specifically with strength training?
Just in general.
Yeah, give us all your knowledge.
I'm sorry.
Give us all your knowledge.
I feel like protein is the hardest one for people to start hitting when they first start tracking macros, because they really overestimate how much protein they naturally get and underestimate how hard it is to eat a good amount of protein. Like, I'll have clients who just be like, yeah, I think I ate a good amount of protein today, and they'll tell me what they ate, and I'll like kind of try and calculate it in my head and guesstimate. I'm like, that's like nowhere near like where you need to be. And then I'll have them actually track it, and I'm like, so this is where you thought you were, this is where you actually were, and this is where you need to be. And having that visual for them is like really eye-opening. So protein is so important, but I think it gets kind of crazy when people start putting protein in everything and taking out like the joy of food. Like, you don't need to put protein in every single thing that you eat. Like, just eat a brownie because you want a brownie, or eat whatever because you want it and it tastes good. I'm never that person who goes for like the Halo Top ice cream or like the protein chips. Like, if I want chips, I'm going to eat normal chips. If I'm hitting my protein goal, then I'm going to have a normal meal and try and get it from Whole Foods. And that's the other thing, is a lot of people just like drink protein powder or protein shakes or protein oats or whatever, and they're not eating any real whole foods that actual have like that have actual natural protein in it. And so that's what I always coach my clients on, is like the 80-20 rule. 80% of your food should be from whole foods that come from the ground or from animals that is minimally processed, and then 20% can be whatever your little heart desires. That's literally how I put it in my like pamphlet, is like, eat whatever your little heart desires. 20% of your macros for the day or for the week can be whatever, and then 80% should be from whole foods. And then I try and have them, if they're very dependent on protein powder, I try and have them limit it to like one scoop per day, and then having them try and gain the rest of their protein from whole foods.
I really like the part that you said about not stealing joy, right? And the protein chips is a great example. Because I think what happens is people, they start, there's a classic, they start equating, the foods that they quote love, the quote, we can say junk food or whatever, with bad morality. That's a big problem in the industry. And of course, what do people do is, sorry, my cat is here trying to cough up a hairball next to me. He likes attention. He wants to be fed. Sorry about this, guys, if you can hear him. You okay, buddy? And then, of course, what do we end up happening? We get this false dichotomy of good, bad. And then, of course, someone can't sustain perfection when it comes to, quote, clean eating. And then they turn around and once they falter hard and they give themselves permission to go completely the other way. Yep, he just threw up. That's great. And then we get into this really nasty, vicious cycle of this attitude and then shame and feeling like, well, I'm a bad person because I couldn't do this. Guess what? If you like chips, enjoy the goddamn chips within, especially if you have a good idea of how many calories you could have, enjoy those. I really try to focus on, all right, what's all the mediocre crap that we eat because we didn't think ahead, we didn't plan ahead, we ate on impulse, we were hungry, didn't eat for part of the day, that we always feel like, oh, that wasn't very good. Like, I feel like I wasted my calories. I feel like I wasted money on this stuff. And we all can think of these foods. That's the stuff that actually go after really hard because I think most of the healthy stuff that we cook for ourselves is better. I think it tastes better than the mediocre crap we tend to eat too much of. And I think we can then still keep the things that we treasure, the things that are really meaningful. And when we realize through the lens of calorie counting or macros that, wait a second, I can do this, not have to feel guilty, meet my goals, train hard. I think that completely can change someone's relationship and attitude with all this stuff.
Yeah. Like, you get the best of both worlds. You're able to indulge in the foods that you enjoy and like truly enjoy that have maybe less nutritional value than others. And that's how I like to phrase it too. Like, there's no good or bad. There's just food that have more nutritional value and less nutritional value. They each have their own place in your diet. But obviously, if you want to feel good, fueling yourself with whole foods and foods that have a lot of nutrients is going to be the better way to do it. And you're able to have, for most things, you're able to have a bigger portion size of those more nutrient dense foods than you are with like the empty calorie type of foods. Mm-hmm. So that's another way I try and put it too.
Awesome. I did hear all that, by the way. We don't air the videos, but I had to go and take my poor cat downstairs. So at least he's on the hardwood if he throws up again. We're okay. He's fine. He wants attention, wants to be fed. But speaking of, we've got to go. Lauren, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on here. You're an incredibly engaging guest, knowledgeable. Where can people, because they're just getting a little snapshot, where can they go to get more of your stuff?
More of my stuff. I am just an Instagram girly. So you can follow me at CPT Lauren Fit on Instagram. And then I also have one-on-one coaching if they're interested in that as well.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate having you on. And everybody listening, go check out what Lauren is doing. We do not bring guests on this podcast lightly. We bring people on because we believe that they're doing great stuff. And I think you do a wonderful job of, again, like I said, that combination of highlighting strength, like navigating the complex relationship with body image. And I think when people go there and look, they're going to see more what we talk about, and they're really going to enjoy it. So thanks for coming on. Everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. If you're someone who's finding us through Lauren's media, then just take a look at some of the other coaches we've had on. We've got a lot of solo episodes. Well, just Bailey and I going over specific topics. Here's a hint. It's mostly Bailey. She does all the planning. She's the brains behind this operation. But we've got some great episodes, so check us out. Lauren, thank you again so much. And everybody have a great day.
Thank you.